Let me just give you an update. Last Sunday was our commitment Sunday for the Big Faith campaign. And I'll be honest with you. So after church, I watched only a few people come up with commitment cards. And I was a little bit freaking out. You know, I said, man, this is going to be rough. You know, only 20 commitments last week. But the 20 commitments added up to $211,800. One Sunday. I was blown away, and I'm so excited about what God's doing. You can still be a part of that. We have commitment cards out there in the foyer. They'll be glad to get you one of those. You can grab one after service. Part of our Big Faith campaign. I started, this is the fourth week, 4 weeks ago, in a message series called Big Faith. I reminded the church that in 2000, I keep getting it wrong, 15, 16, several years ago, how are we going to go with that? Several years ago, what Big Faith was our theme for the year. I challenged people of our church to begin to trust God in areas that you've never trusted God before. Begin to step out and begin to do things that you've never done before. I know for some of us it's scary. Doing something place you've never been, trying something new for the first time. Anybody love the idea of trying new things? Some of y'all, and some of y'all, quite frankly, it probably scares you. And we understand that. But that's what faith is. Faith is, according to the Bible, faith is being sure of what I hope for and certain of what I do not see, right? We have that on Hebrews 11:1. Yeah? There it is. Faith. The confidence of what I hope for, the confidence of what I'm asking for, the confidence of what I've asked Jesus for in my life, and the assurance, the definitive fact that what I need cannot be seen. It's not in front of me. Listen, what I told you last week, if you can see it, you don't need faith to get it. I'm talking about seeing things that are not there. All right, now you're going places I don't want to go. Getting weird on it. Now I'm talking about trusting God so much. God, I don't even see where the next step is going to land, but I'm trusting you to take it. And then we read in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that since I became a Christian now 20 plus years ago, my desire each and every day is to wake up and to please God. I want my life to please God. I know that it does not please God when I'm angry in traffic, when I'm getting agitated at my coworkers, when things aren't going like I want and I start to let those things get under my skin. I know that I'm not pleasing God because I'm not trusting by faith. All right, God, you know what? I don't know how this is all going to work out, but I have to trust you that you got it. That you called me to it and you're going to see me through it. Amen? And it goes on to say in Hebrews 11:6 that God is he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God is a rewarder of our faith. How many of you are faith walkers up in here? Anybody walking in faith? Somebody looking for a reward. Come on. What happens? When we begin to walk by faith and we begin to be led by faith, God says, I got a reward for you. Because you trusted me. How many of you now, a week ago, set out on this faith journey with me on this building campaign? How many of you say, I'm in it with you, Pastor? I'm ready to see what God's going to do. As Kevin and Carla both said, this place is nice, but we're just passing through. This is not our home. This is a temporary stop on the way to the promised land. Week number one of our series, I talked to you about big commitments. If you're going to trust God by faith, it's going to require a big commitment. Week number two, I told you that when we step out in faith and we trust God and we make big commitments, inevitably, there's going to be some big opposition. Anybody ever face that fact, right? You step out to do something by faith you've never done before, and immediately you're met with opposition. I never faced this. Why all of a sudden am I now dealing with this opposition? Is it just me? Or me and her? Me and him? All right, me and her. Okay, there's a few of us. The rest of y'all is too scared to raise your hand. And I told you when that happens, when the opposition comes, we must begin. because of what's happening around me, I'm going to trust God anyway. I told you about the army that was out there in the desert, and they were out of water. They were 7 days from anywhere, and they were out of water. You can only live without water for 3 days. And then the prophet of God, the man of God, tells them that God is going to fill the valley with pools of water. And they go out and they dig ditches. They dig pools. And the next morning when they wake up, the pools are full, just like God they would. They're over in a desert. Water doesn't flow in deserts. Water doesn't flow on rocks. Water doesn't, the closest body of water may have been 300 miles away. And yet the next morning it's full of water, just like God said. And I promise you, if you'll follow God by faith, when he says he'll do something, if you just step out and do what he said, he'll provide what you need when you need it. Last week, I told you, I read you the story and talked about the story of the lady who had a major debt. They wanted to take her sons as slaves. And the prophet, the man of God, goes to her and says, go to your neighbors, your community, and ask them for jars, not just jars. And we had 100 jars on our stage last week. And those 100 jars represented the 100 or so people that are going to be part of this big faith campaign. And people, all different shapes and sizes and quantities, are going to fill up and do what God's called us to do. I told you what happened was, she began to pour the little bit of oil she had in a jar into those jars. The prophet said, when you pour the jars, fill them to the rim and push them to the side. And she filled every one of the until they were all full. And after the last jar, she asked her son, bring me another one. He said, Mom, there are no more. And the oil stopped flowing. The oil jars did. And what God was showing us is that all we need is 100 jars. All we need is this many people to do this little bit, and we're going to have more than enough. Today, I want to talk to you about this. The solution is simple. Can you say, the solution? How many of you like simple solutions? You know, most of us do not like simple solutions. As a matter of fact, when you're met with something that seems too easy, typically you think, well, this is too easy. This can't be right. And you go back it's what we do. You know, we had a big problem, right, in our church. Let me talk about us for a minute. We had a big problem. Our big problem was growing. We were paying astronomical amounts of rent. We needed to get to the place of ownership. We needed to get to the place where we began to invest in church itself so that we could go and really do ministry in this community. So often churches in our position do a couple of things. They either build too soon or too soon, and therefore they usually build or buy. And then what happens is they outgrow it, and now they're looking for something more, and then they struggle with the building, and they want to sell the building and move on anyway. We felt like the thing for us was going to be waiting. Time was right. Waiting until God led us to the place. And if you're my finance team and my guys around me, we've been looking at buildings. I've exhausted these guys from looking at buildings. And here's another one. Eddie, this is not going to work. And I'd be like, don't you see it? We could do this and we could do that. And I'm always trying to be the eyes of faith, you know? And they were like, it ain't going to work. And then we went through this over and over and over until we got to the place now, 29 Park Place Drive. That place, we believe, is going to work. It's going to work not just for today, but for the future. We own the store. It is going to be the future home. Remember this. It's just a building. Say it. Just a building. The building is not the church. You're the church. And we're going to use that as the vessel to do what God's called us to do, to reach this community for Jesus. Amen? Amen. And I think back on my God now, these 20 years. Every part of my life, every part of our life as Christian people has been a walk of faith. I left my business. I was self-employed. I owned an insurance agency. We sold that and stepped out in faith to follow God in full-time ministry because we believed that's what he was leading us to do. We went to a church that was just a small 70 people at the time, and the church grew and became for 10 years. And then God one year in 2010 said, it's time for you to leave. As I recall that story last to our Get Started class, the folks who were just joining our church for the first time, I got to recount that story. I love recounting the story because, again, it ignites my own faith. It reminds me of God's faithfulness in my own life. And I watched God start this church with 6 people in a living room. And now here we are, some 300 or so people meeting on a Sunday morning. This is mind-boggling to me. I know that I'm not that good. God is, right? We stepped out and we started this thing from nothing, and here we are, and we stepped out in faith to buy that. And yes, we have it. And it's like one step after another, and God keeps showing himself to us. And he reminded me as I prepared this sermon this week that he does things very simply. And we try. How many of you think you're smart? Don't raise your hand. We all think we're pretty smart, especially us men. We can figure stuff out. I don't need any directions. Who needs directions? Let me tell you about my first experience not using directions. My daughter Caitlin was an infant, and a tricycle for Christmas. It's a tricycle with 3 wheels on a frame and a seat and handlebars. How hard could it be? I was up till 4 a.m. trying to move. We had extra parts. Things didn't work right. I was like, it's a tricycle. So my wife's like, why don't you just look at the directions? Here's what we do. God makes it easy. So let's take salvation, for instance. Salvation, God says, here's what he says about salvation. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Jesus plus nothing, right? Right? Would you agree with that? Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. This is what we do. Pray this prayer, walk, be baptized this way, do this and do that, and maybe one day you'll be done. And God says, it's not that complicated. How about this one? We think spiritual warfare, right? And for those of you who've been Christians a while, you're like, well, I love spiritual warfare. I like to battle in the spiritual realm. This is what God says about spiritual warfare. Resist the devil and he will flee. Simple, easy. Here's what we do. Cast it out in Jesus' name. Quote scripture. Stay in your ground. Speak in tongues. Do what? I mean, that's all great. It's all, you don't need to do all that. Here's what he said. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. You know why? Because you have authority. Some of us have authority. Here's what God did with the 10 commandments. He said, this was his 10 rules, just abide by these. First, the Israelites, they 627. Too easy. 10 is too easy. We need 627 more. Maybe God can make them out to be. If God says do it, listen, our response is just need to and trust God for the results. Amen? Turn it with me, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter. As I prepared my sermon this week, I was actually going in a different direction, and I was reading the Bible, and I got to this story. And the Lord said, this is the word, not the words we want to use. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. So God kind of started this midweek this week. Hopefully they have it. Yeah, there it is. Now Naaman was commander. Wait, can we hold up our Bibles here? There, y'all got to remind me. Here we go. All right, hold your Bibles. The Bible, it says of itself that it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God, I pray right now for illumination as we step forward by faith. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Now Naaman was commander of the army of King Aram. He was a great man in the sight of God, highly regarded, because the Lord had given victory to Aram. Had leprosy. He had a problem. What's your problem? Anybody? What's your problem, dude? What's your problem? Here's what I'm asking you this morning. What's your problem? What is it that you need God to intervene in? What is it that you need God to do this morning? What's your problem? A relationship issue, a health problem, financial problem, a career change. What's your problem? Stick it in there. He had leprosy. What's your problem? Verse 2. Now bands of raiders from If only he would. To the king of Israel, so Naaman left with him, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 of gold, and 10 sets of clothing that he took to the king of Israel, read, "With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his robe, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger, "Say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, put his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not far the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could not wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went on in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" Easy, right? So he went down, dipped himself in 7 times as the man of God, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. 3 lessons that we learn from the story of Naaman this morning that I think are appropriate for us today. I asked you a little while ago, how many of you have the rest of you who are hiding your problem, these are still going to work in your life. How about we need to not overcomplicate what God has made simple? Listen, the first thing I want to show you from the story this morning is this. The answer to your problem is closer than you think. The answer is closer. Look, within Naaman's own household was a girl from Israel who said, "Hey, look, Mrs. Naaman, if your husband, my master, would just go to Israel and see the prophet." That's simple. The answer, right in your own household. You have a medical, you go see this specialist and that specialist. You have a financial, you're trying to make a loan, or you. We're always going to experts. What if difficulty comes and you just cried out to God first? Nobody else agreed with that. Yeah. We want to call everybody else. We want to call our best friend. Hopefully get some agreement, right? We want to call an attorney. One call, that's all, right? We want to call experts in the field. When in these cases, in every other case, we should just learn to call on God first. The answer is right in your household if you have a relationship with God. Come on. He always has the best answer anyway. He always has the final answer. Remember, he's sovereign. Before you go to your friend or the doctor, the attorney, or any expert, seek the heart of God. The servant girl within his own house held the answer he so desperately needed. The answer you need may be so close that you've overlooked it many times. You know that when our church first started, a lady that my wife and I know who lives in another state called us one day and said these words. She said, "The building that you'll ultimately buy, the building that will become your church building, you will have driven by 1,000 times and not given it a second thought. I want you to know how good God is. This building we bought, number 29 Park Place, is 1.5 miles from my house." Favor. It's like I have a message on the property. Some of y'all's driveways are longer than a mile. Naaman's answer was in his household. Many years ago, a lady that my wife and I knew, she was about 25 at the time, and she wanted a godly husband so bad. And she used to cry out, "I just want a godly husband. I want a godly man. I go out, I meet guys. nobody is seeking God like I'm seeking. I just want a godly man. She started to just turn her heart toward God. Now, quit looking around. Started looking up. You know what started to happen? She started going to a Bible study on the South Shore. Her cousin's best friend, she wound up meeting and marrying. They've been married, I think, about 12 or 13 years now. They have two kids, and they're just loving life. She found the man, and he was her cousin's best friend. You're closer than you think. Number two, the answer to your problem is easier than you think. Look what the prophet told Naaman. Go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan. You'll be restored and you'll be cleansed. But Naaman was angry. I thought he would come out, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand. Listen, one time a lady came to see me. She goes, I've had this habit for years and I want to break this habit. Will you pray for me? Sure, so I prayed. She said, well, shouldn't you pray blood over me? Well, shouldn't you pray this or pray that? I said, well, you pray and I pray. Plead the blood. I did everything she wanted me to do, right? You know what she did? The next day, she left my office, and the next Sunday, I see her in church, and I said, well, hey, how's it going? And how's the habit going? Or have you broken the habit? She said, well, and I left her office. I got in my car, and then things were just staring at me. And she said, so I lit one up. I couldn't help it. All you had to do was just resist. I already prayed the prayer. God had moved in our midst. All you had to do was just stop and not do what you were wanting to do. Just do what God had led you to do, and you'd have been cleansed. She still smokes today. But when God gives us the answer we've been seeking, here's another idea. Just do it. I think I've heard that somewhere before. Maybe seen it on t-shirts. Do it. Just do what you said, but what you think God said. If I wouldn't have listened to God, this wouldn't be possible today. Well, I think God said for us to start a church, but I don't like the idea. And my wife certainly, we could have easily agreed not to do this and just found some other way to make a living, because this is hard, right? And God didn't say it was going to be easy. He said it was going to be fruitful. And we'd see people's lives change. And we'd see this community change because we did what he asked us to do. Listen, just which God gets the message to you is irrelevant. Whether it's through a prophet of God or through the mouth of your heart directly, just do it, right? However it gets there, just respond to it. It's easier than you think. Naaman. It's the word. Simple. Just go dip yourself in the Jordan seven times. But Naaman begins to reason and logic his way out of doing what God said. We reason and logic our way out of doing what God says because, just quite frankly, that doesn't make sense. God, do you know the position I'm in? I never forget when I preached a few weeks ago. He talked about a lady that the lady was in financial straits, and she said, he said, God's telling me to tell you to tithe. And she said, well, that doesn't make sense. He didn't think it made sense either. And she watched God do what only God could do in her life, because it doesn't always make sense to walk in faith, but it always makes for great faith. Amen? Amen. When God tells you to do something easy, just do it. Be thankful that he didn't tell you to have to fight Goliath to get to the throne. Be thankful he didn't tell you how to build an ark to be saved from the flood. Be thankful that you didn't have to march 40 years in the wilderness. Be thankful that it was much easier to get to where you were going than you thought. How about this one? To be flawed, hungry, and before you got to Rome. I kind of like the easy road, to be honest. The solution is simple. Just give God what he said give, and we'll all have what we need and accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish. God's solution is easy because Jesus paid the price. The only thing standing between you and God's blessing is this. Listen to the prayers. Obedience. Now, none of us really like that word. Obedience. That's a nasty word. I really don't want to. Well, that's all about perspective. If you just do what God said to do, if His heart will become your heart, and you're doing what you want to do. Obedience. Obedience may be the key that unlocks the gate of blessing over your life. Obedience is the key that unlocked the dam of blessings over this financial campaign that we're doing right now. Because a church member and his wife came to our house on Eve and said, here's the first offering. I want you to know the first offering opened the door for them, and it's been coming in ever since. So thank you. You guys who stepped out by faith to do what God said to do before anybody else did. Obedience. God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Number three. The answer to your problem is better than you think. It's closer, it's easier, and it's better. Look at verse 14, 2 Kings. He went down and he did what God said to do. He dipped himself in the Jordan seven times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Now, I don't know how old Naaman was when this occurred. There's no idea, but he was a commander of an army. I would venture to say that he was probably at least beyond 30. He had had some hard miles on his body. He had been in the wilderness fighting battles. Probably had a lot of scars. Probably had a lot of wear and tear, a lot of sun damage. They got sun damage. They didn't even have sunscreen back then, right? And here God restores his skin to that of a young boy. I know what you ladies are thinking right now. Honey, book us a flight to the promised land. I'm going to dip myself into Jordan seven times. If my skin will be made like that of a young girl. Right? And I bet you Naaman just wanted to be healed. Could you just get rid of the leprosy? You don't need to make me like a young boy. If you just get rid of the leprosy, I mean, you know what leprosy does? Your skin begins to die, and it dies and falls off. Fingers fall off and stuff falls off. He's probably thinking, if you could just heal me, let's get rid of the rashes, get rid of this awful dead skin, I'd be real ecstatic. But God said, no, that's not enough. I'm going to make your skin like that of a young boy. I'm like, I may be going to Israel. I've seen my wrinkles are getting way worse than they used to be. Anybody agree with me on that? And I suppose they'll agree with me on that. You look younger than ever. God doesn't just want to provide a solution. He wants to provide a great solution. He wants to fix your problem better than you ever thought.